Hey guys, welcome back to Unpopular. How is everybody doing? I'm going to answer a few questions from my Patreon subscribers on here today and give you some updates about my life and whatever I want to talk about. And I'm in a good mood because the weather's good. And because the weather's good, I've been out, like, you know, walking again around town and just out and about. And I've been going to visit the bat colony near my house. I have a huge bat colony near my house, and it's just, they're really cute and I love them, and there's just so many of them. So I've been hanging out near the bats today. I took Chunky to see the bats. He didn't really care, but like I was into it. And then I found a giant beehive. So that's cool. It's like covered in bees, like they're everywhere. And I'm into it. I hate wasps. I'm actually really scared of wasps, and I always have been. And if I see a wasp nest, like I definitely like knock it down. And to be honest, when I saw the bee's nest, like I would never knock down like a beehive ever, obviously, like I'm not a psycho, but the like 9-year-old boy in me did kind of come out, and I was like, oh my God, like imagine if I just like threw a rock at it and it like fell off. Like I definitely like felt like, oh my God, like I want to knock it down, but I wouldn't do that because I've seen Bee Movie before and I love that movie, Jerry Seinfeld's Bee Movie. And in that movie, they explain how, like, if you don't have bees, like, everything dies. Like, there's no plants, like, there's no nothing. I don't know. I think you meant to learn that in high school, but we all know that I didn't have much of a high school experience. I didn't get taught taxes. I didn't get taught any of that stuff. So, you know, I didn't get taught about the bees, but I did learn about them in Bee Movie. So I've just been admiring the beehive and I'm loving it. And everyone loved my episode with Brandy and Julie this week, by the way, which I knew you would. So I'm happy about that. But something I don't like is the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce headlines, and they won't fucking stop. And I think I complained about it last week. They're relentless. It's so much, like the amount of coverage. And when Susan Summers died, you know, I was like, RIP, like what a legend. I love Susan Summers, but I was also like, thank fucking God she's dead now, because at least people have something else to write about. Like I went on Page Six and I saw a bunch of Susan Summers stories. I'm like, yes, please, anything to give me a break from like Travis and Taylor. It's just horrific. And at first I thought Taylor was just doing it to erase all the like bad will that she got on Twitter for dating Maddie Healy. But I was kind of like, this is like a lot, like this is a lot of press that she's generating just because of the Maddie Healy thing, which overall in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that big. It was more just like normies on Twitter that were complaining about it and, you know, Zoomers and stuff. Oh my God, he was on a podcast and said something offensive. Like it's not the end of the world. And I felt like she was like doing a lot. And then, you know, I'm seeing her show up to all the games and bring the celebrities with her and stuff. And then someone mentioned the Eras Tour movie. I'm like, oh yeah, of course. She has that fucking musical movie out. And I know she's obsessed with charts and records and accolades. So she and her team probably got together and they're like, we have to break the opening weekend for the highest grossing musical movie ever. So like, you better get your ass out there and work, girl. So, you know, she's been all over town with Travis Kelce doing everything to get every headline and get people talking. And why didn't she wait, by the way? Well, I know the answer to my question, but I was going to say, like, if you release a concert film, you would usually do it at like the end of the tour, you know, when everyone's like been to the tour. And said she's doing it in the middle, because obviously we're in like Taylor Mania right now that's swept the nation. I didn't think she could get more famous than where she was, but somehow every album she's more famous than the last. And, you know, she wants to break those fucking records because it's not enough to have sold whatever 200 million fucking albums, however many she's sold, and be like the richest person and the most famous person. It's never enough. I want more. She's like that, the girl from Willy Wonka. I want the chocolate. Like that's Taylor Swift. And people think that I'm a Taylor hater. I'm not at all. Like, I just think the level of interest in what she's doing is so out of control. Like, I get that you report on, oh, she has a new boyfriend, it's Travis Kelce, you know, he used to date these girls, he was on reality TV. Like, I kind of get that, but it's just every single day is like 40 updates on anything that they do. And then I know she purposely fuels it, obviously, which is like more annoying, because then I can't go on social media or any website without just getting like Travis and Taylor news like slammed in my face. The only thing that ever warranted this level of coverage was Britney during her OG crazy phase, like the head shaving days. And that was compelling because it was like, wow, This is like America's sweetheart, the most beautiful girl in America, the girl next door, and now she's debasing herself in convenience stores at 2 a.m. and sleeping with sketchy Pakistani dudes and like crying on the sidewalk in front of paparazzi, and it looks like some tragic performance art project. And then with Taylor, it's like, you know, she rocks up to the NFL game and she sits near the window in the booth where the paparazzi can see her. Oh my God, look, I have his jersey on, but it's draped around my elbows. Did you get the shot? Like, now I'm clapping. It's like, not the same. Like, it's not interesting. Like, why do you have to look at that many photos of her sitting in the booth through the window with her fucking red lipstick to match the jersey? Like, it's not that interesting. Like, just stop. Like, stop fueling it, because then people in my industry have to write about it. I mean, I'm probably the only one that doesn't want to. People put their hand up for this. I'll take the Taylor story. Like, people are just obsessed with it. It's weird. I do feel like people do get into these, like, it's like a mass psychosis. I feel like people get tricked into thinking something's interesting that it's not, just because they get told you should be interested in this, because it's like get saturated, but whatever. But no, I'm not a Taylor hater. And I find her very impressive because she's operated on this level 24/7, like she doesn't have an off switch, like 24/7 for the last 15 plus years, she's been playing this media game. I remember when Speak Now was really blowing up, and that's when the trajectory was like really happening, because you had Fearless, which took off with like Love Story, and then Speak Now was like the first big album like since that one. It was just, you know, her career was climbing. And I had a friend who was writing for MTV at the time. Now, I haven't caught up with him for a long time, but shout out Sam, love Sam. And then he went on to be like the editor at Time magazine, and he wrote some books, and he's done a lot in the industry. He really went places. And he was at MTV at the time because he was earlier in his career. And he did this article about how like Taylor actually has all of this hip hop cred and like swag, and like nobody gets it, but he does. And he did a whole piece about it. And then she read it, and she reached out to him because, you know, I was friends with him at the time, and he told me, and she reached out to him and she invited him like backstage to a show. And I just remember even back then, and I wasn't in the industry. That's when I was a blogger, but I hadn't, you know, actually like worked with celebrities or anything. But I kind of thought, wow, like she actually reads all of her own press and then like cozies up to these writers that praise her. And it always stuck with me because I just thought that was interesting. Like, you know, doesn't she have better things to do? But no, she's very into what everyone says about her. And then, you know, I followed her career since then. I was actually a Swiftie for maybe about two album cycles early on, I think during Speak Now and what was the one afterwards? Red. I think those two albums I was a Swiftie, and then I sort of dropped off, and then I've sort of been in and out on her. Like sometimes she pisses me off, sometimes I think she's great, whatever. It's very up and down, but I've followed her career ever since then, and just watching how self-aware she is and just the different ways that it manifests. Cause like sometimes it comes out in these really great songs that she writes, and she's really, really vulnerable on them. And it's in a way that is more akin to like singer-songwriters of the 1970s and like modern day artists. You're like, oh wow, like she really went there with these lyrics. But then there's also that savvy publicity side where it's just everything is so thought out and produced and just launched with the goal of like, make me more famous. And there's just never enough. Like you think that she's peaked and then she gets even bigger. Now she's sort of, she's around a Michael Jackson level. She's definitely the biggest thing since Michael Jackson. She wants to be the number one pop star of all time, I think. Like, I think that's where her bar is. I think she's looking at Michael Jackson and Madonna and she's like, I'm getting to that level. I'm going to be bigger than that level. And I was kind of reflecting on her career a bit recently, and I just remembered like that whole Squad era that she did, because, you know, she was getting backlash back then for dating too many guys. She's not a girl's girl. And she would do all these Easter eggs and references about the music, very similar actually to Kardashians, because the Kardashians, they have a scandal in like the media and the tabloids, and then they like tune into our show to find out what really happened with Kim and Courtney. And that's like what Taylor did, like find out what really happened between me and Travis Kelce in my new album out next week, and it's going to sell a million copies. So like back at that Squad time, she got this stink on her for being a serial dater, and then, you know, she and her team cooked up this like Girl Squad gimmick that I can't believe people fell for that. Like, it was so ridiculous. But like suddenly she just stops being seen with men and isn't really talking about men. And she'll just go to every single red carpet event with like 10 supermodels. And I guess she was trying to make herself hotter as well, because that's when she was really ascending from like country artist to like pop star. So she had like a sexy makeover. She was with all these cool supermodels. She got like some of their cred. They got to be with, you know, the hottest artist at the time. You know, it all worked for them and it was all marketing. And it was just be like, well, she didn't come off like a girl's girl before and now she does. So that worked. And then when she got canceled by Kim and Kanye, when they saw how she had been, you know, strategic with some of her publicity stuff. And they're like, look, she's not that innocent, guys. Like, you know, you think that Taylor's just this, you know, fawn in the woods. No, she's very calculated behind the scenes. So then she drops the Reputation album, which honestly was like so smart, because I remember how much ill will there was to her after 1989 and when Kim and Kanye exposed her, and people were just like not here for her. And it almost was a bit like, how does she bounce back? Because, you know, everything we thought of her as being kind of a sincere person is now up in smoke. And then she, you know, leaned into it so hard and tackled it all head on with that Reputation album, did a whole album about it. And then like no one could say shit to her because it was all in the lyrics. And I don't want to like downplay her artistry, because yes, it was all a publicity stunt and, you know, it was all concocted to do what it did. But she's not just successful because of the publicity. Like, the publicity stunts work as well as they do because they are backed up by like good songs, and the songs are like very authentic. Like, Look What You Made Me Do, it's not just like a dumb generic like I'm a, you know, bad bitch and I'm gonna get revenge. Like, it's, she's a real songwriter. Like, there's a real story in there. She is completely vengeful, she is self-obsessed. Like, she is very much like Regina George in many ways. And, you know, Regina George in the movie when they're like poring over that, what is it, the Burn Book or whatever, like that's so Taylor writing her songs, and like it comes off in the music and it feels authentic, and then it just works. And she's very impressive. What else has she done? Oh, she had her progressive ally era with the Lover album, which is sort of when I got back into her, not because of like the progressive thing with it. I just thought like the songs were kind of like, she had some cute love songs on there, which I like. I like the cutesy stuff. I find her kind of creepy when she's like trying to get revenge on people, or she's doing like the Poor Me Victim songs, but I like the cute, like I love her very cutesy songs, like the love story, all the stuff that sounds like a fairy tale I'm into. And I feel like she does that so well, and like not many other artists can actually kind of like pull off that. But anyway, I digress. But she had the Lover album, and then she teamed up with Todrick Hall, a black gay man, so they were like trotting around together, and she was waving the rainbow flag, and she had her videos with you know, filled with like fat POCs and minorities, and she started talking about politics, because, you know, at that stage she would get all this backlash, because the, you know, the new thing to hate Taylor for was, this was the Trump era, remember, when everything got so politicized and every corner of pop culture had to be political. So everyone was like, Taylor is white feminism 101. Like, why isn't she spoke against Trump? Like, she doesn't want to alienate her redneck fans. Remember, she's a country artist, she's not one of us. So then she does the like transgender music video, and then she does that Netflix documentary where she's like, I have to speak out against this Republican candidate. I don't care if I lose fans. I'm going to be on the right side of history. Like, I am so sure that they planned that scene like a reality show. Like, I really think they sat down and were like, we're going to talk about this, and like, you're going to push back against it. Like, I don't think that was real. And there's a really chilling scene in that documentary where she's like pacing nervously around her apartment with all of her fucking cats, and then the Grammy nominations come out, and a manager calls her, and she's like, you know, what are the Grammy nominations? And she finds out that Reputation wasn't nominated, and she's almost crying. And then she like snaps like serial killer, and she's like, it's fine, I just need to make a better album, I just need to make a better album, it's fine, I just need to make a better album. Like, girl, this is mental illness. Like, this isn't normal. Like, it's the fucking Grammys. Like, the Grammys is a load of shit. Like, the Grammys and like the Oscars, like, these aren't like real awards. Like, I think that the Oscars now has a diversity quota. Last I read, they were only nominating movies that had like 15%, you know, minority stories or something. Like, that's not art. Like, the fucking diversity quota. So why are you basing your self-worth as an artist on these fucking awards? But she is. And then she went and made those boring ass Bon Iver acoustic records that swept the Grammys because they love that shit, of course. Oh, Taylor has a guitar and she's in flannel. This is real music, not that overproduced Reputation. Look at her strumming away like Bob Dylan. So they give her all the awards for that. So lame. See, that's how fucking lame the Grammys are. Then they don't award you when you're doing like all these good pop records. So then it's like, well, I have to get a guitar out now and wear no makeup and stand next to a bush. And now they'll give me album of the year. So stupid. But like, she's so obsessed with the public's perception of her. And it's like not enough to break every single sales week and chart record and like have everything and be hot and have, you know, hang out with supermodels. Like she needs to sweep the Grammys too. Like it's just, when is it ever enough? And I think the only thing that might ground her is motherhood, but I'm also kind of like, I feel like she'll have a baby for press. Like I almost can't even picture her being like a real mother. Or like even if she gets pregnant for genuine reasons, I feel like maybe then the fame aspect of like the marketing the baby and making the baby part of her brand and her next album and stuff might like overtake like the motherhood portion of it. Like the baby will be her muse and then she'll get swept up in her motherhood era and she'll write some song about how, you know, I thought like I felt the highest of highs on stage and then I looked in your eyes, baby Taylor. And I feel like whoever the baby's father is, she will select him like a wealthy woman that's at a sperm bank, and then she's going to have all this really specific criteria, and it's going to be like, well, he has to fit in with her brand, but he can't be too big or have too much power that if she needs him to go away and just, you know, control the child and go like mommy dearest on the kid, she needs someone that she can also like pay enough money to like disappear and be quiet, like not interfere with her plans for the baby. So I don't know. I find her so creepy, honestly. And then even with her, like, Ice Spice friendship, I feel like she just chooses friends as, like, guest stars in the TV show that is her life. And then she gets what she needs from them and moves on. Like, she got the backlash for the Maddie Healy thing because he called Ice Spice a chubby Chinese lady on a podcast, which was totally funny and who cares. And it was so weird that now I'm going on a tangent, but, like, seeing them like dig up that Adam Friedman podcast, which is like a huge podcast. Like that portion of podcasting is massive. Like I listen to all those shows. It's very big, has a big audience. And then it's like people that those podcasts are not intended for, that like they don't get the humor. They don't like that style. They want to listen to Call Her Daddy. Fine. Listen to Call Her Daddy. Listen to your like normie shows. But then because it's like an intersection of like Taylor Swift, who is like, you know, the queen of the mainstream, and then like Maddie Healy, who's in that world, suddenly that audience is exposed to something that they're like really not supposed to be. And then they freak out when they hear, you know, someone say that she looks like a chubby Chinese lady. Anyway, that turns into like a whole thing online. And now Taylor's best friends with Ice Spice and they do some, you know, song together, which is just a thrown together remix. It reminds me of when Katy Perry during Teenage Dream, they were trying to rig the chart so she would get like so many number ones from that album to break, I think it was like breaking the Beatles record or Michael Jackson's record, something like that. So, you know, they would put out a single and they would slash the price to like 50 cents and it would have a remix with like Missy Elliott or Kanye West. Like they'll just throw on like remix version so people would buy it and they could like rig the chart to get number one. That's kind of what the Karma remix with Ice Spice sounds like. But I do like Taylor. Well, no, I dislike her as a person because she's a freak. Like she's like a Michael Jackson freak. Like she is freak show eccentric level where it's creepy, but I respect the artistry and, you know, I find her kind of some of the stuff she does interesting. I don't find it interesting that she sat in the booth at the NFL game to get a photo taken in Page Six. Like that's boring, but of course I find like the machinations behind, you know, her image and her artistry and how she's like is always setting the bar higher, like that part I find interesting. Like she's the fame monster. She is the fame monster, not Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga has way more of a soul than Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is the fame monster, and It's also crazy, like, the Swifties, like, don't see it. Like, they think she's, like, super authentic and real all the time, which, I mean, she kind of is. That's what's interesting. It's like, she's fake, but she's also real. And she walks this tightrope that, like, most people can't pull off. And that's why, like, that's why she can do it and no one else can. And then you have her haters. Like, I don't like the Swifties. And actually, the scenes from the concerts of the people crying and stuff's scary. But her haters are, like, really dumb too, and they always downplay her talent and her success, and, like, the anti-Taylor takes are so superficial. Like, there's no, like, real critique of her. It's just, she's only popular because she's basic. It's like, dude, she's literally, like, the least basic pop star of this generation. Like, she's extraordinary. Like, she's like a fucking alien. Like, she's barely even a human. Anyway, guys, let's, like, get into the rest of the show, okay? Too much on Taylor. Somebody asked me to elaborate on my, quote, wellness journey, which is hilarious because calling it a journey is a bit of a stretch. Literally, I've done, like, a handful of very basic, obvious things that most people do, and it's made the hugest difference. And actually, when I fell off my little wellness schedule, I noticed the difference straight away. Like, it was drastic day and night, and I went back to being a lethargic bipolar zombie. So I know it's working. So the first thing, the most simple, obvious thing, is just going to bed early and waking up earlier. I know it's just so groundbreaking, but I was in a terrible cycle of just staying up late, gaming or scrolling on my phone, definitely scrolling. Like, I know everyone does that now, but yeah, I would scroll on my phone when I get in bed, and then before I know it, it's midnight, 1 a.m, whatever, then I wouldn't sleep. I would get up groggy and just have a really crappy day. So my new rule when I'm, like, sticking to it is that I try to get to bed around, like, 9:30 or 10, and I put my phone down right away. I will not even scroll for, like, 1 minute, because if I even start for 1 minute, I just, like, you can't get off. Like, you know when you're in bed and you're, like, scrolling, you're like, why am I scrolling? Like, I'm not looking at anything. Like, I've already looked at everything there is to look at right now, and, like, you can't put it down. That would happen to me. So I put my phone on a charger straight away, and then I put on, like, an audiobook or a podcast, usually, like, a more boring podcast, nothing that's too, like, peppy. And then I go to sleep. And I feel like as long as I have an audiobook playing, I don't feel like I'm kind of missing out on my nightly entertainment fix, you know? And then I also have all my blinds and curtains completely wide open. I know a lot of people do this too. So the sun naturally wakes me up instead of just being, like, yanked awake by the screeching alarm. And it's changed my day. And when I don't do this, I really, really feel it. Like, it's made such a big difference. And to add to that point, I've also cut back on caffeine a lot, because I was drinking about 3 cups of coffee a day, and then I would have tea on top of that, which is also caffeinated, and then I wasn't sleeping at night. I was crashing in the afternoon at work. I wasn't focused. I was easily distracted, and it went beyond the usual low attention span TikTok brain stuff. It was literally the cycle of being over-caffeinated and not sleeping, and I'm never going to give up coffee altogether. I mean, it's one of life's great pleasures. You'll never take coffee away from me, but I have been pairing it with Magic Mind productivity shots. So I've cut my coffee down to just 1 cup a day in the morning. That's it. I have it with some Magic Mind. It is Joe Rogan approved. They're these little, like, green shots. They're filled with natural ingredients. They keep you focused and energized, and you don't have to rely on cups of coffee all day. And one of the main ingredients is matcha. That does have caffeine, but it's a lot cleaner. It has 130 times the antioxidants of green tea, and it boosts your energy at a much slower pace. So you kind of can, like, stretch out your morning coffee throughout the day. It also has turmeric to help with inflammation, vitamin C, vitamin B, echinacea to help with the immune system, vitamin D3, which is huge with, like, mood and depressive symptoms. You know, I'm a big believer in vitamin D3 and getting out in the sun and getting those supplements when you're missing them. So I just love that Magic Mind has vitamin D3 along with a bunch of other stuff like ashwagandha, lion's mane mushrooms. It's naturally sweetened with agave, so it tastes good. So if you want to try it too, go to magicmind.com/unpopular, use my code unpopular20, and you can get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. By the way, they have a 100% money-back guarantee, no questions asked, so there's no risk to try it out. It's really helped me reduce my caffeine intake, and you just get a lot more good stuff in your diet. Like, you know, it starts your day off on a much healthier note, I think. Just the coffee, the Magic Mind, and then I'm done for the day. So it's magicmind.com/unpopular. Use my discount code UNPOPULAR. That is UNPOPULAR20 and get 56% off a subscription. Or 20% off your purchase. The link is also in the episode description, and you can check out Magic Mind's website for yourself if you just want to like have a look at the benefits and the ingredients. It's great stuff. You'll love it. So have a look, guys. I'm also cutting down on gaming, which hasn't been the easiest. Like at first it was, and then I, you know, stayed up late one night to play for a while, and then it put me right back in the habit. And then the last week I've been up late gaming on that fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I can't get enough of, even though it's like really repetitive at this point because I've probably played it for 100 hours. But I have definitely pulled back on the gaming minus this week, and that's made a difference. And I've really gotten into reading again and listening to audiobooks. And I know that I mentioned that I've been going to sleep with audiobooks now. And, you know, I think for me, especially because I do work in news media, I'm just like exposed to like news a lot. And then there's like news that I follow, you know, myself, but I just have to look at it to like, you know, for stories and stuff. And then I have a fucking podcast about pop culture and reality TV. So I feel like I really, really, really need that kind of like fiction hit to balance it out. Like, you know, either fiction or like good movies, just like something with like a bit more substance, or I feel like I'm just like gorging junk food constantly. And the audiobooks has sort of worked out the best because, you know, you can do like different things while you're listening. Like I can get on my bike, I can like clean the house, I can actually like feel productive, which makes you feel good. And after I've been at my desk all day on the computer, like the last thing that I really want to do after work is like sit in front of the TV and, you know, passively watch, you know, a movie or a TV show. And I don't really like being on my phone because then I feel like I'm not paying attention to it. I think that's why I end up gaming instead, because I feel like I'm like doing something at the same time. But yeah, usually after work, the last thing I want to do is watch a TV show, which is why I never fucking finish anything. But now I'm just smashing through some good books and it's been really, really good. I feel like now I'm getting that hit. So that's just, I don't know, mentally it's making me feel better. I'm less annoyed by Bravo because I feel like now I have more of a balance. So then when I come and do the Bravo thing, it's like, oh yeah, like this is really fun. Like obviously I'm loving Salt Lake City. And on the mental health side of things still, I did impose a rule for myself to not look at reviews and comments anymore. I'd actually already stopped reading the reviews like ages ago. Like I put on a filter so I couldn't see any negative ones. But now I've kind of like taken it further where I'm not really looking at the positive ones that much anymore, because I just feel like, I don't know, you shouldn't hear that many people's opinions, even though it's good. Like it does make me feel good, but then when they make me feel good, if I see something bad, then that makes me feel really bad. So I'm kind of like, just don't look at, try not to look at any of it. I definitely don't look at anything negative now. And I turned off the story replies on my Instagram, so only people that I follow back can respond. And I actually only did that temporarily because I was just a bit like, oh, I just need like a break from social media and like everyone fucking chiming in all the time. And I was like, I'll turn the replies back on in like 2 weeks or something. And because, you know, you don't want to like lose your engagement because, you know, a lot of people like message you and it keeps people engaged and it keeps them listening to the podcast, etc. So you kind of feel like a duty to do it. But I've just loved not having the replies on and not having my DMs like just filled up every day, that I will never turn it back on. If anything, I'll go even further and I'll just like close off my inbox so people can't even DM me, because, you know, it wasn't even like I was getting negative comments. Like, most people on Instagram are like pretty nice. I just, again, I don't think it's healthy to see that many people's opinion. And then I would wake up in the morning and I would like have just a full inbox and I would feel like OCD over the inbox. Like I had to like clear it out. So that's just like another annoying, like it's like another negative thing to wake up to, because you already wake up to like work emails and stuff to do. And it was just like another fucking thing. And then reading what everyone says, you end up like Taylor Swift, a complete psychopath, where then you're just obsessing over what they think. And you're like, okay, now I have to plan my next album in 3 months because people have been saying this about me on message boards. So I, you know, I don't want to end up like Taylor Swift. You know, I don't want to sell my soul to the devil. So I've definitely just like cut that off. And, you know, one thing that I could not stand, it wasn't even trolls. It was just like dumb comments. Like the one that would honestly make me, it was like my January 6th every time it happened, was if I posted something just satirical or a joke, people go, wait, is this true? I don't get it. Is this true? Like, of course it's not fucking true. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, I could post Marisol Patton and her head has been, like, I've gone on Canva and I've cut her head out and I put it on top of an octopus and then I post it. Is this true? Wait, is this true? Where did you see this? I'm like, that, on. I swear, I'm getting angry actually thinking about it. That, I couldn't stand that. Like, so the fact that I don't have to fucking see that anymore. Well, I actually stopped actually posting anything that was kind of satirical because I'm like, hey, well, people just, they, too many people can't understand like jokes and satire and anything. So I can't post that. It just has to be something very obvious. But like, I was scrolling Instagram the other day and I was on Ryan Bailey's page because I follow him. He's a podcaster. He has like a Bravo Kardashians podcast and he's been on my show before and I've been on his before. And he posts all these memes and he posted one meme, like, I'm not going to be able to describe it properly, but it was kind of like a joke about Nicole Kidman because she is in these viral commercials for the AMC movie theaters in the US and everyone makes fun of the theaters, right? Oh, no, everyone makes fun of the commercial with Nicole in it. And he took like a picture of Nicole Kidman at a concert and he said something in the meme caption, like me watching Taylor Swift's Eras Tour in AMC, something like that, right? And then like people were commenting on his post going, actually that photo is from Adele's concert, not Taylor's. I was so angry when I saw that. Like, it's a fucking meme. Like, the memes are already stupid, right? These are stupid memes. Like, Ryan will admit that too. Dumb memes. And then the people are so dumb, they can't even get the dumb meme. Like, you're mentally, intellectually, your level's below the dumb meme. Like, who writes that? Actually, that's Adele's concert, not Taylor Swift's. It's a meme. Like, it's not meant to be factual. Like, I can't look at anything like that. I can't see it. It's horrific. I'm just interacting a lot more on Patreon now, although they just updated the Patreon app, if you guys have it. And I was trying to like cope and be like, the updates are great, but it's kind of like really confusing. But I answer all my messages on there a lot. And, you know, I don't have to see comments. Is this true? Like, it just haunts me. Have you seen this? No, I haven't actually seen it because I went out of my way not to look at this stupid thing. And then you've sent it to me. So yeah, now I've seen it. Like, oh my God, stop. I deleted the Reddit app as well because after I recorded with Brandy and Julie, I sort of preemptively wanted to delete all that stuff just because we talked about trolls and everything. And I'm like, you know, that stirs them up. It's kind of like kicking a hornet's nest. I'm like, I can't see anything these people say or think, or like if I even see one comment, like I'm going to crash a fucking plane into the Taj Mahal. So I'm just like, I can't even look at this. And I also kind of, I don't know, like I think those snark pages are funny. Like I've read them for years because I used to read the Amanda Hirsch one, like all of these like white woman influencers and podcasters and bloggers and stuff. Then they, you know, they get these swarms of other angry white women that make Reddit pages about them. And I would always kind of read it and be like fascinated by how just sort of bizarre and evil it is. But I was just the other day, I'm like, no, I can't be complicit in reading this. Like, it's too demonic. It's kind of like if a tree falls in the forest and there's like no one around to hear it, like, does it even make a sound? Like, that's my new philosophy going forward. Okay, moving on. Somebody asked me if Rick Leventhal is hot in person. And I think I've answered this before, but I'll answer it again. Yes, yes, he is. He's so hot. He's already hot on YouTube, but like in person, girl, like he's just hot stuff for real. Like he's a man's man. He's a gentleman. He's old school. Like he already is physically attractive in person, but being physically attractive on top of the masculinity and then on top of just being a gentleman, just adds more to it. Like the way that he treats Kelly, I've like never seen a couple like that. Like he just worships her. He pays for everything. I mean, he paid for my drinks and stuff too, but he pays for everything for Kelly. He opens every door. He pulls out the chair. Like, you know, he'll run around and open up the car door for her. Like he just treats her like a queen. Like, whenever girls say, I want a man that treats me like a queen, like, that's what Rick Leventhal is to Kelly. He never, like, raises his voice at her. Like, even when she gets on a tangent, like, you know, if you watch their YouTube show and then she gets on a tangent and he, you know, has to, like, reel her back in a bit. Even in person, when there's, like, not cam, like, that's how he is. Like, he doesn't, like, snap at her or anything like that. Like, he's just, like, so... he's just so respectful and so old school, and they look really hot together because she's, you know, beautiful. She's just a beautiful woman. He's a hot guy and they look great and they're just joined at the hip. And yeah, honestly, can't say enough nice things. Another person asked if I'm going to lean into politics more on my show. Definitely not. If anything, I'm trying to get away from politics because it's just toxic and it's fake and it's a waste of time. Like, look, when it comes to politics, unless you're like a real deal, like hardcore investigative journalist, like boots on the ground, geopolitical nerd, historian, you know, there's some real fucking substance behind it, you're probably making a difference. Everything else is just stupid. Like, everything else is just like dumb. So I cover it to an extent because, you know, I kind of like enjoy some of it. Like, I just try not to let it like consume me and like take over. So I just try to enjoy it from a distance, and I try to throw enough of it into the pod when obviously if I'm like organically interested in something and want to talk about something that's kind of like politically adjacent, that's kind of like fun, or it just like fits with the show, like I'm happy to go there. But I also kind of make sure I do it just to like let people know what the pod is, because, you know, I don't want to like not do it for a while and then I come on here and I like rant about, you know, not wanting COVID vaccines or defending Russell Brand, and people are like, what? I thought this was a liberal podcast, you know, like, and then freak out. So I just try to like cull those people all the time because they're unbearable. And it's a funny timing, actually, obviously, with all the political stuff going on now, which obviously I'm not going to fucking talk about because, you know, that's like way above my pay grade. I am very much over the celebrity angle on the Gaza conflict, although I think it's died down now. But like the first few days, the news cycle was just how every celebrity reacted to it. So it would be like, you know, the star of Netflix or like the star of Hulu's Love, Victor sides with this side on the conflict and feels bad for these victims. It's like, okay, I don't care what someone on Hulu or Netflix thinks about this. You know, obviously I go to like trusted news sources that I trust to cover these things like fairly. Like, I don't need to see a screaming headline of what the Netflix star thinks about, you know, a geopolitical conflict that goes back decades and a holy war and stuff. Like, no, I'm not going to you for that. So that's very annoying. I have not posted about it on social media intentionally, and I don't plan to. And there's a weird pressure on people to post, but right now you're kind of fucked whatever you do. If you try to do a both sides thing, both sides will attack you. Then if you take one side or the other side will attack you. And then if you say nothing, people assume that you're saying nothing because you're not on the side that they're on. So then they attack you. So it's a lot right now. You know, I'm staying out of it. I know other influencers, and maybe because I've turned my story replies off or something, so I haven't had to see as much of this. But I do know other people in the industry that are, you know, getting messages from people, why haven't you posted about this? Why haven't you posted about that? Why haven't you posted for this side? Which is just like crazy. Like, don't fucking tell people what political stance they're supposed to take. And also, it does nothing. Like, did you learn nothing from the fucking black square? I mean, remember when we had, it was the black square and then they did the stop Jewish hate or stop anti-Semitic hate. And then it was, oh, stop Asian hate. Like, they just like kept wheeling them out one after the other. And then like, it was like a fucking parody. Like, it was absurd. And did it change anything? Bitch, of course not. Like, nothing fucking changed. So posting a square or a flag, a Ukraine flag, bitch, do you think that little Ukraine flag on your Twitter profile, like, did anything for people in Ukraine? Like, shut up. But yeah, it's weird. People are pressuring everybody. And it's like, people have this assumption that, like, if you haven't posted about it or something, that, you know, you must be, like, genocidal, or you, like, you endorse, like, killing babies. Like, the way that my brain works, right, is that I assume most people that I know and most people in general don't support killing babies, don't support like mass genocide, don't support, you know, civilians being killed, don't support terrorist attacks. Like, I assume that most people are like that. But right now it's like so hot in the kitchen. People are kind of spinning out like, we haven't posted, you know, the flag for my side, so you must endorse this. Like, it's crazy. People aren't thinking clearly. It's actually reminding me a lot of the start of BLM with George Floyd and the start of COVID, which was all happening at once. And it was just like people's behavior wasn't normal. I mean, I think this is kind of worse. It is funny though, because I would never come on here and like get into the politics of that. But I kind of wanted to do like originally, right, this way, I'll just be honest, I wasn't even going to go this far on it, but I was going to do like this was a non-political segment just about some of the like censorship that I was seeing that was involving like certain celebrities and deplatforming, because I definitely speak about that kind of thing on this show and I always have. I mean, just the other week I was speaking up for Russell Brand. Like, why are they demonetizing Russell Brand? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I'll defend anyone, even those annoying climate protesters that block the road. Like, a couple of months ago there was a viral video of these climate protesters that they looked fucking annoying, but they were blocking the road, and I was talking with my friend about it, and the video went viral because I think the car like tried to like mow through them, and they're like, this is how you take care of climate protesters. I'm like, no, I don't support that. Like, people can protest. So yeah, and I kind of wanted to do like I was just a bit worried about some of the deplatforming and stuff that I was seeing, but it's, you can't touch, like I said, anything you say, even if I put out the most fucking milquetoast innocuous comment on it, and, you know, obviously you have to put the disclaimer of, and I condemn this side and I condemn that, because again, like, I assume everyone condemns bad things. I'm sorry. I know I like always rag on how annoying people are and stuff. Like, I think people are the worst when it comes to just being like Karens and stuff, but then more on like a deeper level, like, I assume people condemn bad things, but that's a big thing right now. Like, well, you didn't condemn that. It's like, okay, I assumed they condemned it already. Like, I don't need to hear it back, but okay. But even if I put like the most milquetoast like take about like free speech or something, and then I put all the condemnations and disclaimers on there, someone would still twist. It's so crazy right now. Like, I just have way too much going on in my career to even put my fucking pinky toe into that. I have too much going on. I'm not risking it. So I'm just going to talk about nice, safe things. Oh my God, like the Roni finale, you guys. Oh my God, the Roni finale, the best thing I've ever seen. Just incredible television. It was a masterpiece. Like, why is Paul Thomas Anderson acclaimed when we have the Roni reboot? Oh, it's just so good. No, but honestly, that fucking Roni reboot, I did watch the finale. That the Jenna Marble one, you know, the fucking Jenna chick with like no teeth and eczema and hives or whatever, she has got to go. She made me so angry watching the finale. Like, just so unwatchable. Just this bumbling Where's Waldo character in the background that's afraid of everything and like running into walls. Like, she's just so bad. Like, I would watch a cast, six Ebony, like put Ebony, clone Ebony six times. I would watch Ebony over 30 seconds of Jenna again. Like, her casting is the worst affirmative action ever. And people hated Kim Fields on Housewives of Atlanta back in the day because she would bring like a book to cast trips. And it's like, Kim Fields literally brought so much more to the table than this Jenna woman. Like, every scene with Jenna, I have a rash and I'm scared to go swimming and these girls are so fearless and I'm not fearless and my dentures are chattering and here's some lashes I brought you from my new collection and I like ice cream and a newspaper said I was a lesbian 20 years ago. Like, I've never watched something so bad. I mean, keep the rest of the cast. I don't care. Just fucking get rid of this woman. And then I saw her on Watch What Happens Live after, and I watched that too because Julia Fox was on, and they had to play this like fashion game where, you know, this dumb Watch What Happens Live games where you say like it was fashion or trashin, and I guess this Jenna person, you know, she had a fashion job once that they stopped. I mean, is she that big in fashion if she's selling false lashes and she's on the Housewives of New York? I don't know. But anyway, they're playing the fashion game. And they're showing like the worst outfits, like, you know, Mary Cosby, the worst Mary Cosby confessional and stuff. And like, Jenna wouldn't say that it was bad because she's too scared to have an opinion on everything. Oh, I have eczema and my dentures are sliding out. It's just like, girl, like, get the fuck off my TV. Just shocking. Okay, so I've had heaps of questions about, like, updates on me and my mom and my family and stuff like that, because I used to talk about family things a lot on here in the early days when I was venting at the height of the pandemic, when we had moved back to my hometown and it was just drama and chaos and stress and crossed boundaries endlessly. And then my mum kept listening to it and telling random distant family members to listen to the podcast, even though I told her repeatedly not to, and was trying to keep it private. And she was just spreading word all over town, no matter how many times I said, please respect my boundaries to, like, not do this. And then, you know, I've moved out on my own for quite a while. So, you know, we haven't been in each other's face. So it's mostly been good. And when I have updated family stuff, it usually goes on Patreon, just because, yeah, I couldn't share anything without, even for entertainment purposes, without people up in my fucking business. So it was very, very annoying. And I haven't shared any of my Norman Bates mama drama in a while. There hasn't been a lot to tell. Like, you know, we've been getting along pretty much, like, I mean, we hang out a lot. That's the thing. Like, we hang out a lot. Most of the time, our relationship's really good. There's not really any issues. She was very nice the other weekend when she found me a hair salon, because I go to this really expensive hair salon in town. It's, like, hard to get a booking because I'm so disorganized. Like, you know, I always leave it to the last minute and I couldn't get on. I was supposed to do Heidi and Spencer's podcast, which ended up getting pushed back. But anyway, I really needed my hair done and she found me a good salon in town. So that was all good. And then I was going to come on here and give you guys some funny updates. And then she came over the other day because she got a new phone, because I told her to get a Pixel. I mean, I told her to get an iPhone, first of all. And then she didn't want to get an iPhone. So I said, okay, well, if you're not getting an iPhone, get a Pixel instead of these other random Android phones. Because I'm like, Pixel's really good. It's good value for money. It's easy to use. And I got her to get a Pixel. And then she came over for me so I could help her with the phone or something. And then I went into her phone and then I went to the browser and she had typed in my podcast in, like, the search. And it's like, she had only had the new phone for, like, a day. So I'm like, okay, why are you searching up my podcast, which I've literally told you 10 zillion times not to listen to or look up? I'm like, is she listening to it in secret? Like, what's going on? I almost wasn't even going to do this, but whatever, I'll just say what I want. But I don't know. Now I'm on alert. Now I'm, like, very paranoid. I'm like, why are you up my fucking business? Like, how many times can I tell you don't listen? You know what I mean? Like, it literally affects my show, because then I feel like I can't even, like, be myself on here in, like, a safe space. And then, you know, luckily I do have the Patreon. Hopefully she's not on that with, like, a fucking fake name. But if I find out she's been listening to the show still, like, I mean, I'm moving overseas soon. We're thinking January. And I'm not talking to you. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just move overseas and not talk to you. It's either, like, because I told you we hang out all the time in person. Like, she comes over here all the time. Like, I literally call her up, what are you doing? Like, come over, can you take me into town? Whatever. Like, it's fine. So it's like, it's not like I ignore you and then the only way for you to have contact with me is, like, through my podcast or through my social media. Because I have her blocked on Instagram and, like, I don't have her on Facebook. I don't want her on my social media. And it's like, because I see you all the time in real life and I talk to you even when I was away last time, like, I call her. So it's not like I ignore you or something. So you already have real contact with me. So if I say don't go on my social media, my podcasts and stuff, like, literally just do it. So if I find out she's been listening and she's still keeping tabs, I will literally just move overseas and stop talking to her. It's like, well, you can listen to the pod. You seem to get enough information from there. So I'm pissed off and paranoid about that. And I even had to block my cousin on social media, who I really like. And now I'm like, I hope my cousin's not angry at me. But, like, my cousin had mentioned something that I had posted about how much I paid for a taxi on my Instagram, on my podcast Instagram, not my personal one. And then she mentioned that to my auntie, and then my auntie mentioned it to my mom, and then my mom mentions it to me. I'm like, how do you know that I spent that much on this taxi from Melbourne to Albury, because it was like $500 or so. It was like, whatever, it was a long story. Like I literally had to leave Melbourne at that time and no one would pick me up. There was like no other way to get out there. It was either catch like multiple connecting bus, whatever, it was fucked. But I'm like, how do you know that I spent this much on a taxi? Oh, well, you know, your auntie told me, and then how does she know? And it's like, okay, so now I'm on the fucking family vape grapevine again. So I'm like, you're blocked. So I blocked my cousin. Like, don't fucking talk about me. Like, if I talk to you and tell you something, that's fine. Otherwise, like, mind your own fucking business. I don't know why people can't just stay in their fucking lane. But like, me and my mom are fine, but we had like a funny thing the other week, because I actually stopped talking to her for a week, even though we usually do talk all the time. But I stopped talking to her for like a week because she kept telling me that my cousin, not the cousin that I blocked, a different cousin, was going to contact me because he needed to stay at my house for the night because he was like passing through town. He was going to visit my grandpa. My grandpa is in like the nursing home, and my cousin was coming in town and wanted to stay at my house while he goes and visits my grandpa. And usually family that comes through, they actually stay at my mum's because, you know, she has a big house. She has like a fully set up guest room, two guest rooms actually. So they usually go there, and my mum's always like happy to have guests and stuff. But she was like making a big deal about having my cousin stay at mine. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I was looking forward to it. I like my cousin. We're the same age. We get along really well. We hadn't caught up in a long time. So I was into it. And then she keeps like mentioning it like constantly, like every day. Henry's going to stay at your house. Has Henry contacted you yet? Make sure you have blankets. So what's going on with Henry? It's like, oh my God, girl. I'm like, is he going to reach out to me or not? Because he hadn't even reached out to me. It was all through my mum. My mum harassing me about how my cousin's coming to stay. And I was just starting to think it's like weird, because I'm like, why are you communicating everything and he hasn't even asked to stay and you're like harassing me about it? And then he messages me like the day before he's coming through to say, hey, can I crash at yours? I'm like, yeah, all good. That's fine. And I didn't like plan dinner for us because it was like a little bit last minute because I wasn't really expecting when he was coming until the day before and stuff. So I hadn't planned anything. I had a lot going on work-wise that week. You know, I just sort of had some time to like tidy up the house and everything for him. And then my mom comes over the next day. This is like a few hours before my cousin arrives, because my cousin came like after I finished work at 5. So my mom stopped over at lunch. She's harassing me about him again. Have you sorted out dinner? What are you doing for dinner? And it's like, I don't fucking know. Like, I only found out last night he's staying. Like, I'm like, we're grown adults. Like, we're in our fucking mid 30s. Like, we can figure out dinner. Like, stop. And she kind of suggested, by the way, we made no plans. I never agreed to them. She suggested, well, why don't you, come over to like my house later and, you know, have dinner. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. Like, you know, I'll talk to him about it. And I got back to work, made no plans. My cousin comes over at 5 when I finished work. It's all good. I suggested we go out and get Mexican in town and have a drink and catch up. So we go out for Mexican, and like I start getting text messages from my mom, like asking me to bring my cousin over to hers, just endless text messages. And I think I wrote back, I said, we're at dinner. And then I ignored them, and she keeps like messaging, and then she keeps like trying to call. And it's like, dude, I'm fucking at dinner. I'm having a margarita. I literally haven't seen my cousin in ages. Like, I probably hung out with him like once or twice in the last like few years. We're having a good catch up. Like, he's expecting a baby. Like, he has a lot going on. You know, we're having a drink, you know, both guys just like, you know, chilling out the fucking Mexican restaurant. She's calling, like, she won't stop. I'm not answering because it's like, you're not going to interrupt my fucking dinner. Like, what are you doing? And it's also, it's like, it's not my job to deliver my cousin to you. Like, you guys organize that. Like, I don't even drive. Like, he has a car. Like, he drove us there. Like, if y'all want to see each other, sort it out between you. Like, I'm not your fucking nanny. Like, I'm not your personal assistant. Like, this has nothing to do with me. She's texting, bring dessert. Like, bring dessert? Why would we bring dessert when we don't even have plans to come over? Like, what are you fucking talking about? And then in usual style, it turns into like emotional manipulation. This is the only chance I'll get to see my nephew. Please. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like, I told my cousin, and I'm like, can you just like text her back? Like, I mean, I was like, text her back if you want to see her. But like, this is nothing to do with me. And I think I like turned my phone off, you know, like, Again, like, you guys can sort out. I don't give a fuck if he goes over there. I had no plans to go over there. You know, I had busy day at work. I was, you know, relaxing, wanted to go home, fucking play some PlayStation or whatever and, like, go to bed. I wasn't up for, like, a 9 p.m. visit at her house after dinner. If he wants to go over there, like, it's fine. So I just, like, leave it up to him. And, like, I don't think he wanted to fucking see her. It was, like, late, you know? And he was only here for, like, one night. It was, like, a really quick visit, I think, to see, you know, our grandpa. And then, like I said, he's got a baby on the way, so he's probably going to get really busy. So he wanted to, like, squeeze in a family thing. And I'd also got my big tax bill that day, so I just, like, was not in the mood, you know? Anyway, it's up to him if he goes and sees her. I'm enjoying the tacos. Then Mum sends, like, another message. Everything I do for you, you can't even do this one thing for me. And, like, as soon as I saw the start of the message, I didn't even finish reading it. I literally just deleted the text thread. And if my phone wasn't off, no, my phone was obviously on because I had the text message. So then that's when I turned my phone off because I was like, I'm not fucking dealing with this. I just left it off until I got home. And then I just didn't talk to her for a week after that because I'm like, nah. You're not going to be doing weird emotional manipulation and, like, blame me for my cousin not wanting to drive to see, which has nothing to do with me. You know, we've been drinking too. Like, really, we're going to drive over the other side of town after we've been, like, having, like, two margaritas each? No. And I found it even weirder that, like, she was making such a big deal about him staying at my house. Henry's coming over. He's going to contact you. He needs a bed. It's like, girl, if you wanted to see him this fucking badly and you knew he was coming through town, why didn't you just offer to let him stay at your house? Like, it's bizarre. It's like I was happy to have him, by the way. So I was glad he stayed at my place, but it's like she forced him onto my house to stay and then became a jealous lover or something that he wasn't with her. Like, it was just crazy. Like, she always does this stuff. It was like, you know, back when I was younger and I was broke, because, you know, I moved out of home at 16 and stuff. So obviously I would, like, borrow money from my mom when I was, like, on the dole, like, university. Mom, can you put $20 in my account until payday so I can buy some, like, ramen noodles? And then by the time I was in, like, my mid-20s and didn't need, like, money from her, then she would start, like, trying to give me money all the time. Like, I can put some money in your account or whatever. I'm like, no, I don't need it. Like, I'm fine. I don't need money. Like, it's all good. And then she would, like, try to do it. And then I remember, like, a couple of times when I actually, like, again, this is, like, 10 years ago or something, but then when I actually, like, would need to borrow money. So it's like she would have been offering, oh, put money in. Do you want money? Trying to force money onto me. And then if I would ask for it, I'm like, oh, look, can I borrow this, you know, some money until payday or something? Then she, well, I don't have it. It's like she does, that's what she does on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, it's, she does the opposite. So then if I ask for it, I can't have it. But then if I need it, if I don't need it, you try to make me have it. And then if I ask for it, you don't have it. Like, she just does stuff like that all the time. And then even with me moving over to the US, like, that's the thing. She always thinks that, like, I just, you know, can't do anything. And she always has just, like, you know, overly critical of everything. There's, like, a running joke in the family that she's like that. So I guess, like, maybe she just didn't think that I was going to move overseas. And now we pretty much got the okay for it. I just have to, like, sign this agreement thing. But it's finally moving on after, like, 6 months of me trying to get, you know, the ball rolling on this thing of me getting to LA. And I think she just, like, thought it wasn't going to happen. And then when I said that it was, of course, like, it turns into, like, negative comments. Well, be careful what you wish for. Like, really? That's the first thing you say? Like, literally, I've been, like, going on and on for, like, 6 months straight to get over here. Be careful what you wish for. Well, you don't know. It might not work out. Maybe you shouldn't sell your stuff. Like, you could come back. It's like, fuck off. Like, it's just constant stuff like that. Like, just, you know, like, oh my God, just constant, like, Blue Jasmine hysteria and, like, mind games and, like, cutting comments. And then when I see that thing in a fucking phone about searching my podcast up, the amount of fucking times I've said don't listen to it, it's like, honestly, like, that's smothering. Like, I literally will just not talk to you, period. You know what I mean? Like, girl, I can cut off my emotions. Like, I've given you the choose your own adventure. It's either, like, we just have a normal relationship, which we, like, do, where we like get coffee and like we go out to lunch and stuff. Literally, I see her all the fucking time. We have a normal relationship, but I just say like, just don't get in my like social media or my podcast, or you can ignore that and look at that and then I just won't speak to you. So it's like, that's the choice. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and you can get more content on Patreon, patreon.com/unpopularjp. The links to everything are in the show notes. Make sure you get the magic mind and tell me if you enjoy it. Like, you can send me a message. I was about to be like, wait, did I turn my messages off? My DMs are not switched off yet, just a story reply. So if you like the magic mind, tell me. And yeah, I will see you all. I'll have another Patreon this weekend. And then I'll put another episode out at some point. Bye.